Did you eat chocolate? Yes. Are you revived?
Yes.
All right. All right, we begin this morning on our heart change journey talking about contentment. I want it. Did you learn anything about contentment? That's a good thing. I'm still learning, and I pray that your journey does not include bed bugs. Contentment, I want it. God, we want our hearts to be content. Gratitude, I need it. Are you wearing your purple bracelet? All right, has anybody had to change it yet? Oh, I have to tell you what one woman wrote to my website. She said, really, Linda, I think we women can be more creative than just having a bracelet that we switch from wrist to wrist. She said, I think you need to suggest to the women that they buy their favorite kind of candy in the little miniature candy sizes like you just ate out there, but a bag of them, and they take the bracelet challenge, and every time they gripe, they have to eat a piece of candy. And at the end of the challenge, they weigh themselves, and they see how well they did. I think I'll change the bracelet. So we talked about gratitude, I need it, and worship, I seek it. And I told you were learning two things. What was the first one? That worship is loving God. Can you say it? Worship is loving God, and worship is bowing to God. It comes from the Hebrew word and the Greek word for worship, and what a beautiful combination. It's a passionate, affectionate love for God and a reverential awe where we bow to God. I think if we put those two together, that's what worship is. And whoa, do you hear that rain? Woo! And I am thanking God that you did not have to run through the rain to get your chocolate. Small mercies, ladies. I'm assuming that Modesto doesn't get a whole lot of rain, so this is probably a blessing. And in this last session together, we're going to talk about surrender. I want to do what we all just sang, I surrender all. And we mean that when we sing it. But sometimes different parts of our life are very hard to surrender. Isaiah 50 verse 10 says, who walks in darkness and has no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. I love that verse because so often we do walk in darkness. We can't see what God's doing. God doesn't make sense to us. We would have done it differently if he'd asked our opinion. But when we walk in dark and don't have light, what we're to do is trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon our God. And ladies, I see surrender as an act of faith. And faith to me is walking in the dark with God, holding his hand. I can't see up ahead just what is going to happen, or I can't see what God is doing, but I know he's holding my hand, and we're walking in the dark together. Would you turn in your Bibles to Job chapter 1? And I want us to look at Job, a man who surrendered. Job really amazes me. Job asked God lots of questions and he had doubts, but he also was a man of faith who really surrendered. Because I think what we see in Job chapter 1 was probably the worst day any person ever had in their life. I mean, he lost everything, including his 10 children. All of his possessions, all of his sustenance, and all of his children were gone in one day. I mean, it was just one piece of horrible news after another. And I want you to look at Job 1:20 and 21, because he's told the worst news of all, that his 10 children have all died. And in verse 20, it says, "Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground." And what, ladies? He fell to the ground. That's what the Hebrew word means. He fell prostrate and worshiped. Now, would that be your response to the kind of day that Job had? It wouldn't be my response. I don't know what I would do. But he fell to the ground and worshiped. And these words that follow are Job's worship. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And verse 22 says, "Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God." That is amazing. He is a man who surrendered, and he did it by worshiping. He fell to the ground and worshiped. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Does Job overwhelm you? He overwhelms me. He just overwhelms me. And his whole attitude. Look at Job 2. What do you know about Job's wife? Did she have an attitude of gratitude? You know, we all know what she said to him. "Curse God and die," in Job 2:9. But we don't often think about what she said right before that and what Job's response was. And I want you to listen to it carefully. I'm reading in Job 2:9 and 10. "Then his wife said to him, 'Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die.' But he said to her, 'You speak as one of the foolish women speaks.'" And Job then defines what integrity means. He says, "Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips." So Job's definition of integrity was, I can't just bless God when everything is going well. I need to bless God in adversity. And that is integrity. I stand amazed. that Job said, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That surrender to me is just amazing. Just amazing. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. And we're going to look at another man who surrendered. We're going to look at Abraham. I asked you this question earlier today, and I'm going to ask it again. I know that you have read the story of Abraham and Isaac in Genesis 22, and it's just the way we are, ladies. When we know something, we just think, oh yeah, I got that one. So I ask you, would you please pretend that you've never heard it before? And because I'm going to read several verses to you, I am going to ask you to stand again. And we're going to have with the rain, the thunder of, there it comes, of all of the seats. Abraham had just had an experience with God in chapter 21. He had called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God, El Olam. It was the first time that God had ever been called this. And Abraham had like a mountaintop experience. And so things were good. And then it says in verse 22, now it came about after these things, after this experience that Abraham said, that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder, and we will worship, and we will return to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it will be provided." You may sit down. God says three things to Abraham. He says, take, go, offer. They're commands. Take, go, offer. He says, take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. Okay, ladies, I just want to tell you, this made no sense to Abraham. Just a little bit farther in the Old Testament, God forbids the Israelites to ever sacrifice their children. He says, do not be like the pagan people who put their children into fire, who sacrifice them. Never do that. So he's asking Abraham to do something that he later forbids. How many years did Abraham wait for this son to be born? A whole lot of years. A whole lot of years. He waited and waited and waited, and God miraculously gave him this son. And the way he describes him, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac. When you wait a long time for God to answer, for years and years and years, when God finally answers and gives it, it is so special. And God just didn't make sense. Have you ever been in a situation where God didn't make sense to you? I've been there a time or two myself. And I think it's a really, really hard place to be. But if I could always understand what God was doing and how he was working, I would never have to have faith, because I would have sight to see. Wouldn't you rather have sight? Wouldn't that be fun? But that isn't what God wants. God wants us to trust him and to walk in the dark. And Abraham did not understand. It made no sense. So let me ask you a question. What do you think Abraham's thoughts were that night? Do you think he slept? I'm convinced he didn't sleep. Would you sleep? I'm convinced he didn't sleep, and I'm convinced he was saying, God, did I hear you correctly? Have you ever questioned if you heard the voice of God correctly? I would be pretty sure if God spoke to me, take, go, and offer, that I must not have heard correctly. But verse 3 says, So Abraham rose early and saddled his donkey. It's real interesting to me that it says Abraham split wood for the burnt offering. Abraham was a wealthy man, and he had many servants. And I don't think it was his usual task to split the wood. But do you know, when you are so troubled inside that you have to do something physical. My good friend Lorraine, whenever she's upset, she cleans her house from top to bottom. It sparkles. I told her the next time she was upset, would she come to my house? I mean, she prays as she polishes. She prays as she scrubs. She prays as she cleans the bathroom. But she's doing something physical. And I think this is what Abraham was doing. He was out there with that axe, hitting those logs. And with everyone, I think he said, God, God, did I hear you right? God, did you really ask me to take Isaac and offer him? God, what are you doing? This was the promised child. Don't you remember? God, God, where are you? What are you doing? So I am in amazement at Abraham's obedience, because it says he got Isaac, he split the wood, and he went to the place that God told him to go to. It says so many places in the Word, dear friends, that we show God we love him by obeying him, by obeying his word. And this was a really hard obedience because Abraham did not understand him. It says in verse 4, on the third day, this was a journey of about 50 miles. Wasn't a short distance, and they walked. They walked much of it. And so as he's walking with his son for 3 days, I think his heart was broken in two. And part of the heartbreaking for Abraham was God just did not make sense. And when they got to the place, Abraham said to the young men, he had servants with him, stay here, and I and the lad will go yonder, and we will worship and return to you. In the book of Hebrews, it says that Abraham believed that if God really ask him to sacrifice Isaac, that God would then raise Isaac from the dead, that there would be a resurrection. And so he says, we will worship and return to you. He was convinced that if God had him do this, that there would be a resurrection of his son. It says, Abraham took the wood and he laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife, and the two of them walked on together. Commentators are very all over the map about how old Isaac was. But I have two sons, and I think Isaac was probably between about 8 and 12 years old, because my 8 and 12-year-old sons could have carried wood on their back. They would have thought that was pretty special to be able to be big enough to do that. And I can just see Abraham and Isaac walking, and Abraham reaching over and taking his daddy's hand and saying, I'm your big boy. I get to go on this trip with you. I'm your Isaac. I get to go with you, Daddy. And dancing around his dad the way young boys will. And then he speaks to his father and he says, Father, I see you've got the fire and the wood, but where's the sacrifice? We're going up here to worship. Where's the sacrifice? Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And I just stand in amazement at Abraham's answer in verse 8. And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. What a beautiful statement of faith. God is going to give the sacrifice. And so they get to the place up the mountain, and Abraham builds the altar and arranges the wood and binds his son Isaac and lays him on the altar on top of the wood. Now, Isaac had seen lots of animals be sacrificed. He knew what happened when you got bound to the wood. And I don't know how you visualize this, but because I have boys and now grandsons that age, I don't think he just laid there like this. I think he's screaming, Daddy! Daddy! What are you doing, Daddy? No! No, Daddy! I'm your boy! I'm your Isaac! No, Daddy, no. That's what my boys would be doing. What was their daddy doing? I just can't even imagine what it was like for Abraham or for Isaac. And Abraham stretched out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called to him and said, don't do this. For now I know that you fear God. We were told in the very beginning of Genesis 22 that this was a test of Abraham's faith. And all this time that Abraham wants to obey God, I am sure Isaac was screaming and crying. And I love verse 13 because it says, then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son Isaac. Now, in Colorado, we have something like thicket. It's called scrub oak. And it's a very dense high bush. Some of it on our property is so high, it's trees. But it also can be like a huge bush that is very, very dense. And in the summer, it looks beautiful because it has leaves, and in the fall, they turn different colors. But in the winter, it is probably the ugliest thing I have ever seen because it's just a bunch of sticks all together. And I have a big golden retriever named Bailey. And Bailey kind of has free run of our property. We live out on a dirt road near the mountain. And he just kind of roams the neighborhood. He has friends all up the street. Some of them come up on our deck and stand at the sliding glass door asking for Bailey to come out and play. And he goes to some of their houses. There are a couple of people in the neighborhood who every day give him dog biscuits. And Bailey is old, and a little bit crippled, but he can get wherever there are dog biscuits. And we have deer that come on our property. We have rabbits that live in this scrub oak. We have fox that live back behind our house in the rocks. And we have bears. We had a bear break in our kitchen and destroy it. But that's a story for another day. But Bailey chases anything that is out in the yard because that is his territory. And I have seen him chase a rabbit or a fox into our scrub oak, which is like a thicket. But he can't really get in. He's too big. And if he got in, he would get caught, particularly if he had horns like a ram. And he wouldn't be able to get in or out then. He would just be caught. And this is what happened to this ram. And I want you to understand this because it's very, very important for you personally. The ram was caught in the thicket by its horns. And I believe it had just laid down and gone to sleep. And so Abraham didn't see it there. That's what Bailey would do if he was caught in our scrub oak. Because the bunny or the fox could just get out the other end, but he wouldn't be able to. He's too big. So this ram was wandering, probably after something like my dog Bailey does, and he got caught and laid down. And I say this, ladies, because you can hear Bailey if he's anywhere near the scrub oak. Because he's so big, he makes noise. And the ram would have made noise. And Abraham hadn't heard him. He was just there, caught by his horns. He just stood up from his nap and thought he'd try again to get out. And why do I stress this? Because, ladies, it's important. Because the ram was always there. God's provision was always there. God just had not opened Abraham's eyes so he could see it. And wherever you are in your life, and however impossible it seems right now, there is a ram in the thicket for you. God will provide for you, just like he provided for Abraham. But to me, that's very important for me to know that the ram was there. Abraham had said, God will provide the offering. And the offering was there. And Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. I have a very dear friend who's very deep in the Lord and in his word. And when I was studying about worship and about Abraham and Isaac, I wrote her and I said, tell me what you know about worship. And this is what she wrote me. I've been thinking about you asking me to share about worship, and I've asked, Lord, what do I have to say? He has shown me that my worship right now is the altar of Abraham sacrificing Isaac. He said, let us go up to the mountain to worship. There have been four altars of Isaac this year, terrible, wrenching deaths. All are still alive, but I feel like I'm the one who has died. And I'm still very leveled by it, still in the emotion of death. I believe that obedience has counted with the Lord as worship of him. In fact, I didn't know this until I began to seek him for what is it I know about worship. So bless you for the question. What is an Isaac altar? For Abraham, it was his beloved child. He placed his son on the bound together sticks as a living sacrifice. Ladies, the Isaac altar is something we love deeply or something we want deeply. When Abraham built his Isaac altar, he had to surrender three things. He had to surrender his intellect. God made no sense to him. He had to surrender his understanding. And secondly, he had to surrender his affections. He loved Isaac. So he had to surrender his emotions to God. And third, he had to surrender his will. He must will to do the will of God in preference to his own will. So he had to bow his intellect, his emotions, and his will. Ladies, I see that Abraham went to the Isaac altar in obedience. He went in worship, and he went in faith. And my friends, sometimes we have to build an Isaac altar, and we build it with our hands, with the hands of our heart, with tears and with trembling hands. And this is our worship. This is our worship. This is what I did when my little granddaughter was dying on another continent. And I literally imagined myself binding her to the altar with the hands of my heart and lifting her to the Lord and saying, God, please spare her. I love her even though I haven't seen her, but not my will, your will. I've built many Isaac altars. I put myself up on the altar when it really looked like the rest of my life I would stay at home and just worship God because I really couldn't do anything else. And was I all right with that? I said, God, if this is what you have for me, I will just stay home and worship you. Ladies, this is what Jesus did. He surrendered to the Father. And I think sometimes we think that Jesus was so much God that he really wasn't man. He was both God and man. But it says that he went and fell down prostrate before the Father, and that he was in such agony and pain that he was sweating blood. And he said, God, could you please take this cup from me? God, is there another solution? I know why I came to go to the cross, but could you take it and arrange it some other way? And then he said, not my will, but yours, God. When I surrender, I say, not my way, but yours, Lord. Not my timetable, but yours, Lord. And ladies, surrender is the very deepest form. form of worship. It's the deepest form of worship. I want to ask you to be still and to know that He's God. I want to ask you not to talk to the person sitting next to you, because we're going to spend a few moments, and I want you to quietly ask the Lord who or what your Isaac is, because we are going to build an altar today with the trembling hands of our heart. And our altar is over here. And as our sweet ladies come and quietly lead us in worship, we are going to say to God, God, do I have an Isaac? Who or what is my Isaac? And when you know that from the Lord, and some of you already know, write it down on the card you were given and fold it over, and sometime during the worship, come forward and put your Isaac on the altar. I would just like to pray for you as you sit where you are and ask God to come sit with you and speak to you. Let's pray. My Father, we want our hearts changed. We long to surrender like Jesus did, like Job did, like Abraham did. And you know how weak we are. And we've sung the words to you, I surrender all. And yet, God, some things are just very hard for us to surrender. So, Abba, Father, would you come and sit with your daughters? Would you tenderly hold them and speak to their heart? And would you personally reveal to them who or what their Isaac is and give them the courage to surrender to you? Thank you for how you love each of your precious daughters. We worship you. We bow before you. We adore you.